Let's go out. Color analyst, former Falcons quarterback, David Archer. Arch, my question for you. Falcons are not necessarily stopping the run. They're not running the ball either. Cardinal rules of football, yet you're still 3-2. What can this team do to get the rushing attack on back on track? You haven't rushed for 100 yards since, what, week two against the Eagles?
Yeah, I just think you got to keep working at it, Rob. I don't think that there's any special secret to it. Obviously, you got to continue to probe different areas of the field, continue to run the football inside and outside. But I think that it's just a matter of continuing to run the football. I think some of the big numbers of the teams that are leading the league in rushing kind of disguise it with the fact that quarterbacks are on the ball. I think the top two rushing teams in the league are Baltimore and Washington. I think they're both playing each other this weekend, and they've got quarterbacks that are running for 45 to 50 yards a game. So you're not going to get that. So you just got to continue to run it. You've got to continue to work on your screen game. I think that the screen game we talk about all the time is an extension of the run game. And if you're not doing that very well, which I don't think we are, I don't think we're a really good screen team. And some of that has to do with the offensive line, understanding the timing, getting out there. There's different levels of screening, whether it's, you know, the three count screen or the quick screens or whatever. I think that's got to be a part of things too, but you got to be able to probe all the areas of the field, the perimeter as well as the inside, and then your play action game's got to be really good. So they've got to continue just to work at it.
Yeah, well, Arch, you're trying to talk dirty to me this morning with the old screen game and the three count, the old jump and dump, if you will, over the middle. I mean, golly, man, just get me oiled up next time. Feeling good about this.
You have a cigarette after this.
Arch, we've kind of been talking throughout the week. When you look back on it, one of the keys to success, strikingly, last Thursday, was that the Falcons never really found themselves in a ton of red zone possessions, not really many, short yardage kind of situations. Falcons, obviously the highest rate in the league. We talked about it earlier. Highest rate in the league at plays that have gained 10 or more yards. Almost one in every four plays for the Falcons gained 10 or more yards. Yeah, they're just not very good in the red zone. The good news is that Carolina is not very good at defending the red zone either. What do the Falcons need to do this weekend once they get to that 15, that 10-yard line, to be able to have success in tight spaces, moving forward as an offense?
Yeah, the explosiveness has been phenomenal. And I think they had 13 plays of 15 yards or more last weekend in the game, which is fun. You know, you get the chunk plays and explosive plays, but then when you get in those confined spaces with the red zone, then there aren't any explosive plays down there because there's no place to be explosive. Right. So now you've got to get back to what Rob was talking about. You got to be able to run the football. I think the teams that can run it down there are the teams that are really good in the red zone. And Atlanta has been inconsistent in the run game. The screen game, again, has to come into play. But I think that's going to come. I think that we saw a little bit of what this offense looked like from an explosive standpoint, and maybe a little bit of what it can look like from an efficiency standpoint, because of the development of Cousins and his receivers. And I think that the pinpoint passing, like the throw to Kadarrell Hodges, outside shoulder with a man closing, kind of Hodge expects the ball there. The ball's on target. He spins out, runs for a touchdown. I thought there were a number of throws like that indicated that they're starting to get on the same page as to Kirk understanding his receivers and the different body language that different guys have. Those tight window throws are going to have to be paramount when you get down there. And they're going to have to continue to throw the ball down there too. But maybe throwing the ball on first down in the red zone is part of the answer. Let's not run it and get stoned. And now it's second and 10, and now teams are expecting you to throw the football. So Zach Robinson continues to evolve as a play caller with the guys as he learns these players, as well as the quarterback. The next level, that is the quarterback, getting to know his guys. I think that those numbers are going to improve. And I think last weekend was maybe an indication of some of that because of how well and efficient they worked. I think they were 6 of 14 on third down last weekend. Now, this doesn't talk about the red zone, but you add in the 2 for 3 on fourth down, and now all of a sudden you like your conversion rate. Kept you on the field. You ran 81 plays. Obviously, you got to run plays to be a little bit more successful down there, but there's not one specific button you push. I just think you continue to work at it like we were talking about in the run game.
Well, let's talk about one of those receivers. Drake London, you know, Arch, to me, is a guy that he's grown on me a lot. He wasn't my favorite receiver in the year he was drafted. I was actually really big on Chris Olave, not that it matters, but he leads the team in catches, leads the team in receiving yards, tied for the team lead in touchdowns, and he's 12th in the league in some in that category as well, as far as receiving yards. What has happened with him over his growth where he has turned into, to me, the true number one for this team?
Well, again, I think, Bo, it's a little bit like what we're talking about in the first two questions is you have to evolve in this game or you're not going to be around very long. And if you don't continue to get better, and Drake's one of these kind of guys that's a quiet dude. I don't know if I knew you guys have had a chance to talk to him. He's a really good kid. That I say kid, young man. He's only 23 years old. So he continues to work at his craft. He's a guy that wants to be better. I think that's a number one thing. You go out and watch him at practice and how hard he's working at what he's trying to become, and that's become one of the best receivers in the league. I think the thing that certainly has helped him is having a quarterback that can get him the football when he's supposed to get it or understands and can talk to him about uncovering. His first touchdown was a thing of beauty because of what he's learned about coverage. He was playing the slot to Kirk's left. He went up the field and ran a stick route, which is just a little hitch route in the slot. A linebacker came and widened to take him away, so he uncovered to the inside. It almost became a slant route for him. He uncovered to the inside. Kirk was on the same page, hitting with the ball. And the thing that one of the biggest developments he's made is his run after catch. I mean, think about the play he made right before Mooney comes in to make the catch, or before Hodge comes in to make the catch. He catches a ball and makes two guys miss, gets up the field, takes a big shot that ended up getting like 15, 18 yards on the play. The touchdown was a very similar play. Catches the ball at about the 8 or 9 yard line and punches it in the end zone with his physicality at 6'5" and 220 pounds. He's a problem, you know, and so I think that's a part that people really have kind of discounted about him because he's a big guy. He's not going to be a run after the catch guy. Well, he's been completely a different scenario this year. So again, the development of a young player, I think we think that he's been around for a long time. He hasn't been, you know, and so I think that he just continued to work at it, and he wants to be good, and that's what you love about him.
Arch, it took us a little while to see some of the draft picks on defense play a heck of a lot. Ruka Rororo, heard his name mentioned a few times last week, meaning he was kind of impactful. And what do you think of J.D. Bertrand? What do you think of the rookies and how they're progressing?
Yeah, I thought that it was a big deal, Rob, that those guys played a lot in the preseason. Here's where that begins to pay dividends for you. You knew injuries were going to add up, but Rororo and, of course, Brandon Dorlus, who hadn't gotten on the field yet, another draft pick, those guys. And, of course, J.D. Bertrand played a ton in the preseason. I thought that was a big deal for them just to be able to step in and kind of seamlessly step in. I thought Rororo played with his hair was on fire. I thought he was an energy guy. I thought he did a really good job of commanding more than one block. If you tried to block him one-on-one, which is what they saw on tape, then he's a problem. And he did a couple of really good things in the run game, forced run game wide. Mike will tell you that, you know, the worst thing against the run, especially if you're running zone run, is if you blow it up with penetration where the back can't press it and try to cut back. If he's only limited to one track in the run game, and Rororo was doing that because of what he was doing with his job on the defensive tackle position. I thought J.D. Bertrand got lost a couple of times. I thought, especially in coverage, that guy got lost a couple of times, and some of that just has to be with repping and understanding, you know, some of the looks that people are trying to take advantage of you on. But I thought that for the most part, he has some thump at linebacker. He's a guy that's willing to come in and stack and shed as opposed to run around blocks, which I think is going to help in the run game. And that's where, Mike's guy, Nate Landman, if we get Nate Landman back on the field, that's the way Landman plays. Landman is, as Mike so aptly nicknamed him, the landmine. He's not going anywhere. You know, he stacks and sheds. Mike can explain that when I get off, but he's not running around people, because when you start running around blocks, now you're creating creases in there that those backs are looking for. So that's something that I think J.T. Bertrand brings to the table as well. So I think the two young guys really stood up and played well.
Former Falcon quarterback, current Falcons radio network analyst, and my friend Dave Archer joining us here on the morning shift. Arch, what's the your biggest concern about playing the Panthers this week? Do you think that the one thing that they can do, or the one player, or whatever it may be, that causes the biggest threat to a win for the Falcons on Sunday?
Well, I think number one thing is don't disrespect these guys. This is a National Football League team. I think everybody that's on the periphery that hasn't lined up and played these games looks at it and says, well, this is a bad team, so this should be a blowout. You're going to roll over these guys. As soon as you disrespect them and don't give them the credit they deserve of being one of the 32 teams in the National Football League. You're going to get your ass handed to you on Sunday. You have to go in there and treat them with the respect that they deserve and then go down and take the football game from them. I think that's number one. Number two, the things they do well, obviously Chuba Hubbard's playing well. But they're running the football. Rob's talked about that. They're running the football well. He should have 100-yard games back-to-back. He finished 3 yards shy against Chicago last weekend. He had an explosive run early on in the game that gave them the lead. He's coming into his own. He rushed for almost 1,000 yards last year, just under 905 yards or something last year. He's starting to come into his own. He was a big-time player at Oklahoma State, so he's starting to feel himself a little bit. Their offensive line's banged up. Don't let their offensive line get going. Make them feel like they're in an all-day fight and they don't want to be there, you know, and I think that's what something the defensive line is going to have to do. And Andy Dalton's been around now. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. This is a guy that's had success in this league. If you start letting him get a rhythm going with some of these young receivers and let them develop some chemistry like we got last weekend, then they can cause you problems. This is a National Football League team. I don't think they're going to be able to stand up defensively, but, you know, Clowney and Harris are two edge rushers that can cause you problems in the pass game. If you're camped in the passing game, those guys can get after you. If Clowney can play with the shoulder injury from last weekend, I don't think they're great against the run. And I think their inside linebacker, Tevin Wallace, the kid from Kentucky, is a big-time player. I think that he showed it last week. He had 15 tackles. They've got guys on their team that can make plays. Just don't give them any air to breathe. That's the main thing.
Arch, wrapping up with you. Is this going to be one of those difficult, plodding, Bataan death march games that Falcons of Carolina seem to play a lot? Is this going to be 16-13, 13-12, you know?
You probably just lost half your audience about the Bataan death march. You're going to have to explain that one to them, Rob. They have no idea what that means.
Two guys on the other side of the glass are there.
I think both teams obviously would like to get their run games cranked up. It's certainly what Carolina wants to do. So, and if Carolina can shorten the game, you know, possess the football, not allow Atlanta to have the football and have some of the explosive plays like they had last week, then it very well could be. But when you look at their games, they're trying to make explosive plays too. So I think Atlanta's going to have opportunities to make plays. I think they have opportunities to put points on the board. So just now you got to just go up and again, respect them, go up and play the kind of game you're capable of playing like you played on Thursday night. You'll be fine.
Is Iowa State going to get a win in Morgantown tomorrow night?
Tough one. You know, they've already started burning furniture and stuff up there already, Rob, so that's a problem. You know, it could be that's a really difficult place to play, and now you throw it on a Saturday night, just like any really good college football town where you get lubed up and get ready to go. That crowd's really tough, but I like my guys up there. I think they're playing pretty good on both sides of the ball.
All right, brother, let's go get a win in Charlotte on Sunday. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. Good to talk to you guys.